steps that the president can take in a dignified and honorable way to lower the level of combat and look toward a resolution of the conflict constitutes the course to follow. Now, it is my belief that the public will understand that the president does not control the timing of that. That you have been trying all along.
Well, now, wait a minute. Right on that point, maybe that ought to be one of the leads in the speech we make. Maybe that little statement that they've been working on, we ought to go a little deeper, and maybe you ought to think about that and say, now, my fellow citizens, the president does not control these events. They could have for 5 years, I would have, or 5 months ago, I would have, or 5 days ago, I would have. I'm not the sole master of this fate here. There are a lot of other people involved. Maybe we ought to say that. Now, just put that down. The president does not control. I'm afraid we're not explaining these things well enough to the people and letting them see that he does not. Now go ahead, pardon me if I interrupt your thought, but I want to get what I can out of it as you go along.
Right. Interrupt me any time. And I think in that regard, you go back, it's a good starting point, to September of 1967. And you tell the people what you said at that time. You've been making efforts for some time before that. All kind. Any time any opportunity came up that offered any possibility, perhaps, to bring the war to a conclusion, you investigated. You made a public statement in San Antonio in September 1967. You wanted to find the road to peace then, and said publicly to them you would stop the bombs. They would just start talks that were productive, some such language as that. Now, I think what you want to do also is tie in at some stage that for the talks to be productive, the GVM has to participate. And let that be a thread that runs through them. The talks are going to be productive. Here's the government in South Vietnam. Now, obviously, it has to play an important part in these. Then I think you talk about the fact that Hanoi rebuffed your San Antonio offer, both publicly and privately. And then you touch on the fact that you continued your efforts to no avail. And I think you get up to March 31, and you tried again, unilaterally, cutting back the number of troops to be sent, turning the burden over to the South Vietnamese, and cutting the bombing back to getting the talk started. And all along during this period, I think you might have some thread in there that they would not sit down and talk substantive matters. And we'd have to get the Rusk's consent, but I think if we can develop the theme in there that always they said, no, we'll never consider the government of Vietnam, something like that. We'll never talk with them. Of course, that constituted an absolute roadblock to getting any talks done. But you continued it, nevertheless, always searching for peace. During these talks which have gone on week after week after week, we've tried every conceivable bit, they've remained adamant. Then I think we want to emphasize the point, it was they who changed their approach. I say again, you have to watch the language, get Rusk's consent in there, but we can bring this down to the fact that it was they who finally informed us at one stage that they would agree to the GVN sitting down. And so then negotiations, productive talks, substantive talks that could lead toward the end of the war could begin. And the reason that the matter came up at this time is because they decided to change their position. Now, the one wonderful thing about it is, it's the truth. And it shows that here's the president who's worked on this. September of 67 is now more than a year ago, constant weekly effort. finally they choose. Now, why they chose now, we can say that in a speech, but that's it. We do not know, because it isn't up to them to tell us. Now, there'll be any number of writers. I've already seen them. I think the public would understand. They've chosen now because maybe they feel that they'd like to take a try at this administration, do you see, to see what kind of a deal they could get. And it's getting near, they're running out of time. You don't say it, but people will understand it. So that I've reached the conclusion, Mr. President, that the best record and the best service to this country is to do it the way you have done it. And then when they finally change, no matter what time it is, whether it's 2 weeks before the election or 1 week before the election or whenever it is, when they change and a deal can be made that's a decent and honorable deal, I think it is the President's responsibility to make it. And I believe that the country will applaud him. My own private notion is that from a practical standpoint, the country has been well prepared now for the last 8 days for some kind of an announcement that would indicate that there's going to be a stop at the bombing and that there are going to be substantive talks. I think the country is looking forward with the greatest eagerness to that. I think there will be overwhelming support from the media. I do not believe, I disagree with Dick Russell on the point. I believe in the whole climate that exists now, it will not be construed to be a political stratagem of some kind. Work too hard on it, and too long, and it would be an obtuse man who would think that with all this going on that he might swing an election by selecting a time such as this. My God, they know.
Well, if we shouldn't say that it has nothing to do with it and ought to have anything to do with it, nobody should let it interfere with it in some way.
I missed the early part of that.
I wonder if we shouldn't say in this statement that it has nothing to do with these events, and it shouldn't have, and nobody ought to take it into consideration. This is, everybody wants this.
Right. I think we'd want to watch that wording with care, but I think something that, say that, I think it could be an affirmative.
All the candidates have assured me that they want peace as soon as they can get it.
Yes, it seems to me it can be an affirmative statement and not defensive by saying this is something that we've worked towards. It is so transcendent in its importance that whenever the time came, no matter what its relationship might be to any other event, this so transcends in importance that we cannot be affected by other events taking place. We must grab the opportunity whenever it is presented to us. Something like that, which is, it approaches it indirectly, but I think everybody would get it. But I think that I have felt for a long time, well, I've sung the same song to you, I have felt that during this last period of your administration, I had hoped and prayed, and I mean really prayed, that the time would come when there could be a cessation of the bomb, even if it is unproductive, because your record then will show that you tried everything that there was to try. And
I will ought to say that. I will ought to say, I want this record to show I tried everything there was to try.
Yes. And that now the circumstances are such, we have to be careful about that, the circumstances are such that for the first time I am now free to stop the bombing because I know now that productive talks can take place, something like that.
And this will not cost additional American lives.
And this will not
result in the loss of additional American lives.
That's right.
Well, now then, you better just not do anything else besides get Russell Long taken care of and Juanita Roberts. You better just spend your time. I started to ask Buzz today if when I left here in January, he'd be willing to revert to one star. That'll put yourself in her position. That would have been hard, wouldn't it? After 15 years in the service. But maybe you better just take your yellow pad you were talking about and work on this 5 to 10 minutes. It's, you're going to have 500,000 words. Maybe, as they see, there's just three people talking to me about this that have the overall broad picture. And you and Walt and Dean and Buzz, four. So maybe you better do this tonight and tomorrow while they're messing around so that we can look at how we say this to the American people.
Right.
More important, I think, how we say it to Eisenhower and how we say it to Nixon and how we say it to Wallace and how we say it to Dirksen and how we say it to Gerald Ford. They're going to be mean, I'll tell you. You can just see, I looked over these notes I made on Dick Russell and he just never would pin himself down. He finally said, I would give it a try.
Right.
But I know that this is going to be rough sailing. I know that they're going to charge it. I think that most of these papers, with all this big circulation, I notice there's 22 million circulation endorsed Nixon and 4 million endorsed Humphrey. So the 22 million boys are going to be saying, oh, the old Wheeler dealer. And we've got to make this persuasive as you can, work
right.
on it hard if we do it. And you get your lead pencil out and yellow paper now and work on it for me today and tomorrow, will you?
Yes, sir. Incidentally, Buzz Wheeler and I go out tomorrow. Let's see, just a minute. At 10:30 and give the briefing to General Eisenhower. You instructed me some months ago, a week ago. And I wrote him, got a lovely note, and then recently his man called and said that he now is feeling fine and he wants very much to be brought up to date. We're going to take only a half an hour and just hit the high spots
That's
around
good.
The world.
That's good. Now, what are we going to do on this proposal?
On our proposal that we worked the language up today?
Yes. What are we going to say about it to him? I had given serious thought of going to see him before I agreed to it.
I thought I wouldn't mention that at all. I'm not allowed to talk about it.
All right.
And I must not get in it. Because if I talk to him and then he says something,
then he'll talk to the others. Now, what should I do about talking to him? That's what worries me.
I believe that...
First, I guess we've got to get signed on. Then we have to decide, I guess, what to do about the others. Because we talked to people beforehand.
If you get signed on, then the day that the afternoon or the evening that you're to go on TV or something of that kind, you might take a helicopter out there and spend a few minutes with him and tell him to put under his hat and there it is. That would seem to me to be about the way to do it.
All right. Now, will you work on this thing for me?
Sure.
Just as simple, just what you said there. Now, also, will you follow through with Buzz on this other thing? Because I need to talk to this lady in the next few days.
Juanita?
Yeah.
I'll follow through on that also.
You see, we've got all your drafts and all your manpower and all that. And what does one damn colonel? And let's just don't demote her. That's all. The only thing I want her to do, put her somewhere where she won't hurt anybody and your 4.5 million.
I don't believe you'd put her on joint staff. It was a good idea, Joe's, but she'd be too obvious there. And got only two women on that whole stand, he told me, coming back. What we're going to have to do, he's looking into it, and I'm looking into it. What we may do is give her back her active status as a colonel. I do not know if this is possible, and see if we can put her in the manpower division in the Defense Department.